Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, our front yard and our backyard are a joy, for us at least. The smell of fresh mown grass, the sound of running water in the pond, the sight of color blooming flowers, the taste of sweet strawberries, red, black, and yellow raspberries, fresh garden peas, and the crunch of newly pulled carrots. Many of you know that gardening is my hobby. But there are the weeds. The quack grass crowds and chokes. And the greatest antagonist, of course, are the thorny thistles. They sprout and they take root in the raspberries, and they seem to find their way right into the lawn somehow. Some are flat and others reach for the sky. They're sharp, they're prickly, they're designed to grow fast. And when you don't get the root, they come back just as fast. And then, if the neighbors don't take care of theirs, their problem becomes my problem. Understand this, though. Our yard is a refuge most of the year. It is far from paradise, but it certainly is a lovely place to escape. And when I'm walking barefoot across the lawn, there's that harsh reminder. I step on something with thorny spines, and when it happens, my mind focuses on one specific word, a four-letter word. Adam? Oh, what did you think I was going to say? Thorns and thistles are a part of the curse that God pronounced on Adam because of sin. The Lord said to Adam, the one who was to care for the garden, because you have listened to your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the plants of the field. But the Lord didn't stop there either. He went on to say, and by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and you shall return to dust. The curse could be simply put on a 1980s bumper sticker, life is hard, and then you die. Adam's God-given work was to work and to keep the garden. And what a perfect place this was. And I certainly could go ahead and covet a place without thorns and thistles. When they sprang up, the heaven on earth became hellish. Adam's labors went from caretaking of paradise to heavy labor in a field, in the wild. And no matter how hard he tried, thorns and thistles would sprout and thwart his work and choke the wheat. Well, that's because that's what thorns and thistles do. Of course, the curse meant more than just prickly plants in the garden. Martin Luther notes that thorns and thistles of this curse signify everything that goes wrong because of sin. Things break, things wear out, and fail. And it happens in no matter what kind of work you do, right? Things go wrong when the transmission goes, the copier stops working, your hard drive crashes when you're just about finished with your term paper, your pen bleeds in your pocket, your yogurt goes bad in the fridge, leaky pipes, short circuits, curling shingles on the roof. Every day, whatever you do, something is going to go wrong. These are the thorns and the thistles. And they might not even be your fault. Like when your neighbor doesn't fix his brakes and rear-ends your car, now his problem becomes your problem. With many thorns and thistles, they become your fault if you don't do something about them. They do their best to take over, to destroy you and your work until you return to dust. Need I mention afflictions of body and mind? As time passes, you only grow more and more aware of the thorns in the flesh. But they're not all bad. Every thorn and thistle reminds you that you live in a world that there is something wrong. And they relentlessly preach a sermon of law that there also is something wrong with you, and you need to be delivered. Trace the word thorn all the way through the scriptures, the Old Testament into the New. They sprout, they multiply, and soon you will find thorns, thistles, thorn bushes, nettles, briars. And tonight you heard the famous parable of the vineyard in Isaiah 5. The beloved builds a vineyard, right? A watchtower, clearing the stones, planting the choicest vines. There is no reason why this vineyard should not succeed and bear wonderful and abundant fruit. Instead, it bears wild grapes, grapes that cannot be trained, stinking and worthless grapes that the first commentators translated as thorns. The parable is about the Old Testament Israel. God gives them the promised land with his people worshiping and obeying. It should have been almost Eden-like. As near as Eden as you could get in a fallen world. And yet the people turn away, turning instead to false gods that reward their sinful desires. All sorts of sin and wickedness follow, and instead of vines and good grapes, thorns and wild grapes abound. If people do not want God and his gifts, he will not force them on anyone. And he warns Israel that he will dismantle his vineyard, take down the watchtower, remove the hedge. He will leave people to fend for themselves and be defended by their idols, and the land will be conquered. And where the Lord planted the best of vineyards, thorns and briars will take over because there is no one left to tend it. When people follow old Adam in the Bible, they find thorns and thistles. Whatever good they try to do, it is thwarted by the consequences of sin. They plant wheat and harvest thorns. Left unchecked, the thorns spread and grow. They grow into prickly hedges so that people can't go where they want and do what they want. But the consequences of sin push them towards destruction. And as they go, their altars and their idols are left behind. Eventually, everything gets overgrown and covered with briars and thistles because there's no one there to maintain the place. You see, a glorified wooden salad bowl with a face painted on it isn't going to really do anything. They persist in sin, and thorns and thistles take over their cities. And there is no one to stop it. Why? On one hand, they return to dust. On the other hand, they are taken away into captivity. The Lord's prophets have warned the northern kingdom again and again. for their need for repentance instead of sin, lest they be destroyed, and they don't listen, and eventually the Assyrians invade and carry them off to exile. Oh, and the Assyrians, they're barbaric. They have a special way of keeping exiles in line for the journey. They stick a hook in their lip or in their cheek and pull them along. And their king gets the hook too. You see, the word for hook in the Old Testament is the same word for thorn. All those things go wrong. Little, big. But they're preaching a sermon. Sin has its consequences. And those consequences take their toll as you suffer them. They do damage. They thwart your work. They head you in so that you can no longer do what you want to do or go where you want to go, pushing and pulling and you towards the ultimate consequence of sin. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. And you're helpless against this. And you would be helpless too, except we said before that these thorns and thistles aren't given to say that you are doomed. They're given to you as a sermon that you need deliverance. Behold your deliverer. He's the one that's crucified on a cross, in the middle one, beaten, stripped, mocked, and shamed. He is the one who wears the crown of thorns. If there is anyone who shouldn't suffer the consequences of sin, it's Jesus. He's sinless. And if he were to speak from the cross, it's not my fault. He'd be telling the truth. If there is anyone who would honestly say, I don't deserve this, it's him. Instead, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is the sinless sacrifice made flesh to redeem the world. He bears the sins and all the infirmities, including his neighbor's sins and thorns, and thistles are on him. And the crown on his head reminds us that he dies in our place, bearing sin and all of its curse to give you hope. For after he's dead, he's placed in a tomb. But he does not turn to dust. He is not abandoned to Sheol. The Holy One does not see destruction, for after 3 days, you know, he rises from the dead. Risen, he lives and rules over all things for you, present with the mercy and grace in the world that is falling apart. He makes sure that the rain still falls and sees to it that some of it is collected in a baptismal font for you to be baptized, where thorns and thistles choke the wheat and wild grapes replace the choice vines. He maintains creation to grow wheat and grapes for bread, for wine, so that by his word he delivers his body and his blood for you for the forgiveness of sins. He speaks his word of absolution to forgive your sins so that you are the wheat that are gathered into his barn rather than to be chaff and thorns to be burned in the everlasting fire. Because he goes to Golgotha, paradise is yours. Until then, while you still are in the wilderness place, where the Lord still permits thorns to grow. He gives Paul a glimpse of heaven somehow, and he gave him too a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being too conceited, to remind him who he was and whose grace he needed for salvation. You too can expect weaknesses and insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for now. Yet when you are weak, you are strong, because you belong. You belong to the living Lord, who with thorns bearing your sins, and because he wore a crown of thorns, he promises you a crown of life. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.